psychiatric ward.
Yes, it was. It was a psychiatric institution in Quebec.
Right.
In Hull, Quebec. It was called Pierre Jeunesse, and that's what it was.
And how long of a time was she usually there around?
She only was placed there once when she was a child. I can't recall exactly what age she was and for how long, but she was placed there once. That's, I think, around the time. It was obviously after my grandmother had passed, when my grandfather was trying to keep pushing the doctors that something more was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And with her having her outbursts and waking up in the middle of the night screaming and crying and wetting the bed and ripping the sheets and whatnot, I guess they just felt that was the best place to put her. But I don't think from anything I've ever heard or anything I've dug some research into, it doesn't seem like there was any positive that came out of that.
Right.
There was no diagnosis. There was no medication. There was no treatments. There was nothing that came out of it other than just putting her away, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, a place to keep her safe, I guess, right?
If you want to call it that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that no treatments happened at that point, and you said she's on lithium. Has she done any other treatments, like talk therapy, ECT?
She's done all of it.
Okay.
She's done all of it. I remember even from the age of 5, we would be called in as a family. There would be different sessions that would be happening, different therapies and stuff like that, where we'd have to be involved.
Mm.
And we would get called in different evenings during the week. As my mom's hospitalized, we'd get called in for different meetings where myself, my brother, and my dad would have to go. My brother, of course, was a baby at the time when the worst was happening, so he didn't have any input.
Mm-hmm.
But they needed to see us and see us as a family dynamic and see how we worked together and that we were safe and healthy and stuff like that.
Right.
How we were coping with all of it.
Yeah, it's not easy, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So she's on lithium now. How is her mental illness these days? Would you say she's on a scale between mental wellness and mental illness, mental health being in the middle? So kind of like on the road to recovery, maybe still struggling a bit? Or?
At the beginning of her being diagnosed, so my grandmother, the fire happened in February, hence why it seems like every 4 years, like clockwork, in February, my mother, I don't know if she would be sitting and thinking about it. She wouldn't verbalize it, so I don't know. But it would be the same time every 4 years, my mother would, she would have a, you know how with bipolar, you either have a really high or you
mm-hmm.
have a really big low?
Yeah.
So one of those two things would happen every 4 years, like clockwork, and then she'd be hospitalized again and whatnot. Once she actually got properly diagnosed and is on lithium, for the first couple of years, she was doing really well with it. And then I live here now in Ontario, and I was on the phone with my mom, and we were having a conversation, and she was acting different.
Mm-hmm.
And she just said to me on the phone, she asked me, "Do you hear that?" And I said, what, mom? And she's like, "There's somebody listening on the phone." That was one of her ways of, you know, something was bothering her, and she thought somebody was listening in on our conversation.
Right.
And right then and there, I knew that something was wrong. And when I got off the phone with her, I didn't make a big deal of it on the phone with her. When I got off the phone with her, I called my godmother, which is her sister, who lives in Quebec. I told her what was going on. I asked her to get mom to the hospital, and I drove up. I got there as quickly as I could. And what had happened there was my mom was at the denial stage.
Mm-hmm.
It was early in her diagnosis, and she was at the denial stage, and she had stopped taking her medication because she felt, I can do this on my own. I don't need the medication.
Right.
I can do this.
Which a lot of people feel when they're starting to feel a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, well, the medication isn't doing it. I'm fine without it.
Yeah.
I've been through that myself, too.
Not realizing that it's actually the medication that's helping her.
Yeah.
Because that lithium is replacing that chemical imbalance of what the brain is not producing for her.
Exactly.
So she stopped taking her medication, and she went down.
Mm-hmm.
And she went down hard and fast. And it's an 8-hour drive from here in Ontario to my parents in Quebec. So it took me a while to get to the hospital. I drove all night, but it took me a while. But unfortunately, by the time I got to the hospital, they had already started to treat my mother. But they treated her incorrectly.
Mm.
Because her doctor wasn't present when she was brought in. So whoever the on-call doctor was in emergency that night took the case, and they didn't wait for her doctor to get there. They didn't wait for me to get there. They didn't wait for the history.
Right.
And they just started pumping all these medications into my mom to try to level her out. And by the time I got there, my mom was a zombie. And it took approximately a month to get all those medications that had really damaged her out of her system and back on track. Now, since that episode, that was the last episode, and I'm going to say that was probably about 10 to 12 years ago.
Okay.
She hasn't had another episode because we really sat down with her and had a big conversation. And she now understands that and accepted that this is a part of her life and she needs the medication to keep her stable and keep her at level. So she's doing well. She hasn't had another episode so far.
That's amazing.
If you met her today, you would have no idea she's dealing with it.
Yeah, it's sometimes, you know, it seems like you go through these long spurts of being really well, and then one thing can trigger you off. I feel like it's quite possible to say that your mom was triggered in February's because of her mother's death.
Mm-hmm.
I know for myself, I was in hospital, I think, every 6 months. I always had an episode. I don't have bipolar, but I had an episode of a suicide alley. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to cut that out. I had episodes of wanting to kill myself and wanting to commit suicide or harming myself in some sort of way. And then my mom says now that she could see every 6 months that I was starting to fall and fall and fall. And so what we don't realize is the people around us pick up everything, right? They know, they can sense when something is happening. And it sounds like since you've had this since you were young, you can pick up stuff from your mom really easily.
Yeah.
I know one question that I'm curious about, and I'm sure a lot of listeners are curious about too. Have you ever been concerned about your mental health because it runs in your mom's family?
Absolutely. How it's affected me personally, both my brother and I, once my mom was diagnosed, both my brother and I have had multiple testings to see if we have the gene or whatever it is in us. And happy to report we don't. But we both have been tested multiple times, both because of doctors' concerns.
Mm-hmm.
And personally for me in my life, it is something that I've thought a lot about. It's crossed my mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary. But I'm now at ease, and I know because I've been tested now 3 times, I guess it is, and I know that I'm okay, and I don't show any symptoms or signs of it. But it is something that comes up, and it's something that I have to voluntarily indulge in a lot of situations. For example, the adoption of my son, when we were going through the adoption of Carson, I had to indulge freely that information, and I had to show proof that I didn't or wasn't or am not experiencing any of that in order for us to be accepted for adoption. Yeah. So there's a moment in that time that I can say I was frustrated because it's unfair. I felt it was unfair to me. My mom's mental illness was now becoming a part of my everyday life.
Right.
And the things that I was trying to accomplish in my life. However, it's only a moment that I feel that way. For the most part, I turn it around into a positive. And I am a big advocate for it. And I will speak loud and proud about it. And I will support my mom and support anyone. So when I hear people out there saying comments like when somebody's having a bad day and somebody snaps or is angry or whatever. And when I hear people say the comment, and we've all probably heard it a million times in our workplaces or whatnot, when you hear someone say, what are you, bipolar?
Mm-hmm.
That is something that triggers me personally, and it really bothers me. And I'm the person that'll turn around and stand up and kind of educate that person on what it actually is.
Right.
And that they shouldn't be throwing comments like that around like they're worth nothing.
Yeah, you make a good point. Education is huge with mental illness and substance use. I think a lot of people, the world has gotten slightly better, but a lot of people are still really uneducated about it.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, people say, like, that's crazy, or you know, like what you had said.
What are you, bipolar?
What are you, bipolar? And, you know, people just make these snap. People just make these statements, you know, and not realizing how much they actually impact people. Language is huge, and it's something that as a society we need to come around, because, like you said, people could just be calling her bipolar or someone bipolar because they're having an off day.
Yeah.
But really, it's a serious illness that people need to be aware of.
Yeah. I find that, and I use ignorance in the proper term, I find that people are ignorant to it. Mm. And ignorance being, they're ignorant to what they don't know.
Right.
So they need to, like you said, be more educated. They need to just have more care for your fellow men.
Mm-hmm.
Just have more care and more compassion and empathize. I'm not saying sympathize, because it's hard and difficult to sympathize with something you don't know and you don't actually know the feeling, but you can empathize with someone. Just have some empathy and don't speak of what you don't know. That'd be like me talking about drugs. I don't know drugs. I've never done drugs. I wouldn't know what the effects and side effects are of doing drugs. So how can I say that someone that is lashing out that day, it's because they're on drugs?
Right.
I can't say that, nor should I do that, you know?
And I really like that you know that, because it is important to know that everybody's situation is unique, right? And people that are not going through the mental illness and or substance use will not have the exact same feelings that we have. For instance, my partner doesn't understand a lot of my mental illness where I'm trying to use that. You don't fully understand your mom's mental illness, but you understand it in a different way by being her child, by being there for all the times that she has gone through this. And but you can never say that you know exactly how she feels. And I think people try to do that, and it makes it invalidating to us, I think, in a way.
That makes sense. And that was one of the biggest things that my vice principal had said to me when I was trying to graduate high school that time was, and you know, and she got books for me and helped educate me at such a young age that I learned how to have empathy for it and sympathize with my mother's, what she was going through and feeling and trying to express, and just being patient with her. Mm-hmm. That was one of the biggest things, was just being patient with her and let her get out whatever was in her head that she had to get out, no matter how crazy, in quotations, we want to call it, it sounded to me at 10 years old or 15 years old or 20 years old, but she needed to get it out. And then it was kind of just sitting with her and working through it with her, and sometimes having to bring in, you know, a professional, or maybe it was just calling my aunt, her sister, to come over and just talk together. And maybe it was changing her mind and playing a game with her or something fun or something. Yeah. She just needed to let it out, and you needed to let her do that. And we needed to deal with it, whatever it was. And my mom never had any issues of wanting to harm herself. She's never wanted to harm herself. She's never had any thoughts of wanting to harm herself, which is great. So I didn't have to see that as a child growing up. It was more of an overanalyzing of everything.
Right, yeah.
So it wasn't, I just went to a party, a birthday party at the age of 14 with my friends, where there was obviously no drinking or anything like that. It was just a young girl birthday party with cake and ice cream, to coming home, going to the bathroom, and my mother barging in the bathroom, staring in my eyes and thinking I was on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the types of things I experienced. So it wasn't seeing my mom wanting to harm herself or anything of that, which was good.
I think it's equally harmful, though.
It's a different harm. Mm-hmm. It's a different harm to watch her struggle like that, and be so frustrated sometimes and so angry with herself that she just couldn't get a grip, she would say. She couldn't get a handle on it, but it wasn't her fault.
Right.
You know? And it took her a long while to recognize that unfortunately this is her life.
Mm-hmm.
She's got to accept it, she's got to live with it, and she's got to make the best of it. Yeah. You know? But like I said today, you wouldn't know meeting my mom that she was struggling with this.
Is she open about it to people?
Yes. Yeah. She has been now, but okay. She wasn't always.
Right.
It was something she hid for quite a while. But I think what's helped her is, as I've grown older, and I've been very open to talk about it and support her and whatnot, I think it's given her the strength to speak about it openly. I'm a very strong-minded individual, if you want to say. So I have no problem speaking my feelings or getting into deep conversations. So I had no problem looking at my father's family, for example, when they were saying she was crazy, and standing up for her and her seeing that. And I think that gave her some strength. I would hope that it gave her some strength that she could do it too.
Yeah, for sure.
You know.
So you've mentioned before that you have a son.
Mm-hmm.
Are you worried about his history? I don't know his history very much, just the little bit that you've told me.
Mm-hmm.
And are you worried about the possibility of him having a mental illness and your struggles with substance use?
Based on the information that we've received on the family history package and having met with his birth mother and his birth grandfather, we are aware that there is a lot of different mental illnesses in the family history and genes. So yes, it is something that we are highly aware of, and it's not something I can say that we're concerned about, but it is something that we are aware of, and it is something that we are going to keep our eyes and ears open. As he grows up, he's only going to be 3, so we are going to keep our eyes and ears open, and I know that once he starts school, that might unveil quite a few things, but we haven't really spoken about being concerned about it, but we will be very supportive of it.
Yeah. Do you feel like you're equipped to handle it, being that it's a different situation? Before it was your mother, and now it would be your son.
I think so. I think we're both very equipped. We both have the knowledge and the experience, and I think we both feel that we're not afraid to reach out to our support systems.
Right.
In our community, through the school, through doctors, through our friends. I think it'll be okay. If he should experience anything like that, I think that we have the tools and the strength to deal with it. And I don't think that the end result will be that bad for him if he should, because I think he's going to feel the love and support, and he's going to get all the tools he needs. So I hope for him, if he should experience anything like that, that he'll feel well supported and the love, and hopefully it won't result in him having to struggle as bad as I've seen others.
Right. So to end it off here, I just want to know if you have any advice that you would give people who perhaps have a family member or a friend that lives with mental illness, like your mother. What kind of advice would you give people for them to do? You've mentioned distraction. You've mentioned, challenging the thoughts, kind of. But what else?
The biggest thing I could say is educate yourself first. First and foremost is educate yourself. And don't use Dr. Google. You know, get proper education. Sit down with doctors and specialists. Go to the appointments with your family member and support them so that you understand what's actually being dealt with. Because a lot of times we assume what we know and it's incorrect, and then we're not handling it properly. So that would be my first thing I could say, is educate yourself and know what you're dealing with and know that how you can help. Like you said earlier, every person is different. Everybody's issues that they're dealing with are different and they're handled differently. So you've got to be able to be patient and find the best thing that works for your family member. But educate yourself. That's right. The biggest thing I can tell you, because it's going to give you the strength and take you a long way.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thanks for coming in today. Absolutely. And chatting with us. It's important, like you said, to get this education and awareness out. So I'm glad you were able to share your story with us. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Just like to thank Reese again for coming on the show today. I just wanted to talk a bit about bipolar disorder before we moved on. For those that don't know, it is a medical condition that causes a person to cycle through periods of depression and elevated mood. You know, it typically consists of 3 stages: a high state called mania, and a low state called depression, as well as a well state, during which many people feel normal and function well. all people experience emotional ups and downs, but the mood swings for people with bipolar disorder are often more extreme. I might also just like to mention that Reese, as she said in her interview, is not a doctor and only knows and is speaking from her experience with her mother who lives with bipolar disorder. As you are aware, we are all unique individuals, and our mental health is also unique to us. I would like to take the second to talk to you about a group that we offer here at Self-Help and Peer Support called Supporting the Supporter. It is for anybody that is supporting somebody who lives with a mental illness and or substance use. It's a chance to get around and talk to fellow like individuals like yourself who may need some strategies or just like to talk and see how other people are able to cope with the challenges that it brings. So feel free to join us. And with that, I would like to say have a great week, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.